I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Lines are all jammed up, like we promised, and we'll get to your calls as fast as we humanly can. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go right back to Ted, who had another question before the break. Go ahead, Ted. What was your question?
Yeah, the last question was about a signal extender.
Hmm.
Do they work? Can you recommend a good one?
Not really. I'm not really big on extenders. So I'm doing some research to change out my firewall. I've got an old Linksys 1900 ACS that's starting to show its age. It's dropping our connections, driving us a little bit batty. I'm pretty close to selecting a router firewall, which I think is going to be a Linksys again. But what you need is to find these firewalls these days, or these routers these days, have much more powerful antennas than they made them even 4 or 5 years ago. And so my recommendation is to find a router firewall device that can cover your whole house without having to add extenders. The only alternative to extenders are actual wireless access points.
That's what I would recommend. And to be honest with you, I love my I have one Ubiquiti. It's an older one. It's the square one, which is older.
Yep.
But the technology is so good. I have one. Covers my whole house.
Right.
My whole house.
Right.
So now, what is that?
An access point is basically, so from your router, you'll have a wire running to a middle point in your home, whether maybe upstairs or downstairs, wherever the signal is weak. And then you plug in this access point, which is yet another wireless broadcast bubble. So that's how wireless works. It broadcasts from the router and or an access point. Extenders capture the bubble that is already being produced by the router originally and try to throw it further. And it gets a little funky because sometimes the SSIDs have to be are separate. They're called EXT SSIDs. They're not meshed together. So when people move from the extended Wi-Fi connection to their main one, they drop and they don't naturally mesh back in. It's a bit of a mess. So you want to find a mesh network that'll give you one contiguous SSID.
So the one thing I like about the Ubiquitis is that if you can't get full coverage in your whole house, you can add a second one, and they're designed to pass off to each other seamlessly.
They're a mesh network.
So they don't drop.
They're a couple $100 a piece.
You can get them business grade. Low as $100 now.
Depends on where you find them. But they're business grade devices. So for home, they're going to be tremendous.
To me, the aggravation is worth the money.
Right. If you pay for your good infrastructure, all your devices will work beautifully.
Yeah.
And you won't have the cable company saying you need more bandwidth, which has nothing to do with your problem.
Right. Well, my house was wired. 20 years ago, so I have the old coax cable.
Oh, that's not helpful.
It's not helpful.
No, you want to run a Cat 6 wire from your main router up to where your wireless is weak and add an access point, or replace your existing router device, depending on its age. Is it 5 or 6 years old?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you get a newer one, you'll get one that'll have much more broadcast range. And again, I'm very close to selecting one. Until I put it in my home and configure it and run it, I'm not going to recommend it yet because I haven't used it yet. But the research I've done is probably going to be a Linksys device.
A Linksys.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go get it quick.
I will. Trust me. My wife and my kids are giving me a hard time. Again, the shoemaker's children problem, right? I don't have time to set up my own router in my own home. I got better things to do. But no, I will. I'll get it done.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right, Ted.
Yep.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's move on to Greg in Waterbury. Next, Greg, what's happening?
Hi, fellas. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. I just have a question about my backup onto a WD my passport, 1 terabyte.
Yep.
Hard drive.
Hard drive,
thank you.
Yep.
Before I attempted to download Windows 10, I backed up all of my files into that hard drive.
Smart. Good.
So am I correct in assuming that everything backed up, every user that is using the computer, all the files from all the users are backed up?
I don't know. Did you do it right?
Are you doing?
I just do it every. I use the WD
utility.
Their utility to back up.
So, okay. Are you doing a full backup, or are you doing a partial backup?
I'm not sure. I just did what they told me to.
So I couldn't answer your question, right? So I don't know. If you use the tool properly and the tool worked properly to grab the data that you told it to grab, the answer is yes.
Because when I looked at after I backed it up, I looked at the hard drive space, and it looked like it backed up everything. And I just wanted to make sure that it did.
So here's how you make sure, Greg. Mm-hmm. Restore. So choose a directory on your new computer or your existing computer called make a test, or make it, avoiding divorce. And so that because you're just about to say your wife wanted to make sure you backed up your data, right?
Oh, yeah. She's been pounding me on that
smart,
for a while.
Smart lady. So make a directory called test or whatever you want to. Go to the Western Digital Restoration, software and restore some data.
But don't restore the full thing.
No.
Restore to a folder or a file.
Right. Make that folder, that test folder that you're going to restore to.
Okay.
And then you'll have your question answered. It's the worst thing to find out that your backup didn't work after your computer failed.
That's my concern, because the old computer I'm having looked at, and the person that I took it to said there's nothing. They couldn't get to the hard drive. There's nothing wrong with, as far as they're concerned, nothing wrong with the hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe the actual something with the motherboard or something.
So. All right.
I'm having both of those, the computer and my portable hard drive, looked at to make sure that the data that I did download it to is there.
Okay. Yeah. Again, you can do that yourself, but sure. And do a restoration, make sure it is there. And also, here's the other catch, Greg. Do not keep the backup hard drive plugged into your primary machine that you're backing up. And the reason I tell you this is because if your machine gets hit with ransomware, that drive will be hit with ransomware too, so your backup will be useless.
Okay.
So that's another aspect. Do not leave it connected.
Oh, okay. I usually do a backup every week.
And then you disconnect it? Or do you leave it? You leave it on the machine. Yeah. So you technically, as far as I'm concerned, Greg, you have absolutely no backup. Because if that machine is impacted by ransomware, which is the biggest concern these days, failure is less of a concern than ransomware. If you inadvertently get encrypted, your backup's encrypted too, because you've connected it to the thing that got encrypted. So they would lock you out of your backup, which means you have to pay them a ransom or your wife will, leave you.
Yeah, that's pretty much what may happen.
Yeah.
So can you put a link on your link about how to download the information from the portable hard drive onto the computer?
Well, it depends on the Western Digital software you use. So the answer to your question is really kind of no. You need to go to the Western Digital site, because you use that software to back it up, right?
Right.
So you got to go to their site with that model drive and that software and read about how to restore it. I mean, if you gave me all the model information, I could try to find it for you too. But there's no generic link for me to give you. It's all dependent upon the drive you purchased and that software that's built in.
I see. So,
you want to
basically on the website, or any website is basically bogus. I have to go to
the manufacturer.
On the model,
you got to go where you bought it. Exactly. Don't go to some third party. Go to the manufacturer.
Okay. So you really, you want two of those USB drives. One you can plug in, and then when it runs the backup, unplug it and plug the other one in. So you kind of have two backups, but one of them is always disconnected.
Okay. Yeah.
Get multiple shots at your data, Greg.
So I should basically get another.
Another hard drive.
Backup device.
Yep.
Another hard drive.
Yep. A, B, or you can get three if you want. You can't be too backed up, I'll tell you. You can't be too backed up. As long as you are backing up. If you're not, yeah. If you get three hard drives and they're all blank, that's a bad day.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, fellas. I do appreciate it.
All right, Greg. Good luck.
Thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye. Yeah, so I can't tell you how many businesses we come across whose their IT people have just configured their servers, and you sit there and you see this little cheesy $100 USB hard drive sitting on top of their server running their whole dental practice, right? And the backups running to this external hard drive connected right to the server, and I'm like, doctor, you're not backed up. It's right here. Yeah, it's connected right to the thing that's going to be encrypted, and that backup will be encrypted along with it. You're not backed up if your hard drive's plugged right into your server. Please don't do that, guys. Don't. And if the company you're working with has set it up that way, run away. Run away.
Well, run.
We're going to step out for a quick break. We got one line open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. So just in case our government's listening, I have the honor every Veterans Day of playing all the service tunes for the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard service tunes for Veterans Day. And obviously Space Force is going to need a tune. I'm going to go ahead and say they should try that one, right? Because clearly they've used the logo.
Since you may as well, the leg logo, they might as well lift the theme music. You
may as well use the music. And that's as good as any. Now, there's some others we'll play as options for you as well. But I think that should be the service tune for Space Force. Come on. My solo trumpet there? Come on. Doesn't get better than that. Let's go on to Ray and Vernon next. Hey, Ray.
Hello.
What's up?
You probably answered this question 1,000 times.
That's okay.
I just got a new computer with Windows 10.
Yeah.
Are you guys still as strong as you were on the Windows internal security package?
We have not been for years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Windows Defender you're talking about.
Right.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you can't trust Microsoft to protect themselves. You can't. I mean, the NSA just came out with a big warning about how this big, huge hole in the new Windows 10 needs to be patched. If the NSA is warning you about Windows 10, you just ran out and replaced your old Windows 7 because you had no support, and then the NSA says you better update your Windows 10 because of this huge vulnerability. Why? Why would you rely on Windows Defender to protect you from antivirus? It's like the fox guarding the hen house.
Okay.
So I would recommend Webroot.
Webroot,
yep.
Okay, that's one you buy from the outside.
Yep, you got to pay for a professional antivirus these days. You cannot use the free stuff.
Okay.
All right,
appreciate
sir.
It.
All right, Ray.
For your help. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you just can't trust Microsoft to do the job. Let's go on to Gary in Canton. Hey, Gary.
Hey, perfect follow-up call. Quick question, are you two twins?
Are we twins? No.
Yeah, you always finish each other's thoughts and each other's words.
Yeah, we've worked together for a while. How long have we been working together at Tab, Bob?
15 years.
15 years, yeah. We've worked together for a while. We know what the deal. We know what we're doing.
You're of one mind, let's put it that way.
Good.
Hey, listen, I have three quick things. I had Avast.
Avast?
You know? Yeah, and I paid for it. I had all the antivirus and the scans and the internet security.
Yeah.
And I don't know. This summer, they on their internet browser security, they went, they upgraded it, and it never could download. And I went through customer service for months. It was a nightmare. So I just let it lapse. So it's done.
Yeah.
My question was, I tried to install it every way I could. I through their customer service, and then I heard you have an uninstaller on your website.
There probably is one that we can find for you, Avast Remover. Avast is a software written by the Czech Republic.
Yeah, that's great news.
heck, I just met an aerospace company a couple days ago that's still using Kaspersky, which is Russian antivirus software. You can't make it up.
The thing is, you said, I think last week, that on your website, you have an install program, right?
I don't know if I remember if we talked about Avast specifically, but it could be on there. And if it isn't, we can put a link up there for you today for an uninstaller for Avast. I recommend you go away from any kind of antivirus run by, you know, Czech Republic, you know, Russia. You don't need to run those types of things. You should be running American-based antivirus software, and Webroot is, so far, owned by an American company.
And you have to pay, do you pay for that also?
Yep, $2. It's roughly $2 a month.
Okay, and OpenDNS, I have a new computer. I have everything there. I put it on, but is there a way to make sure it's running on your computer?
Yes, there's a way to check it, and you go out to a website called, I think, the Internet Bad Guys. If you try to surf over to the Internet Bad Guys, that's an OpenDNS test site where it should block you from going there if it's set up properly. You can also go on OpenDNS, and there's other ways to check to see if your OpenDNS is active. You opened an account, right? You set up a free account?
Yes.
Yeah. So Internet, I think it's called the Internet Bad Guys. We can put a link for you that for there as well.
Boy, I'm going to be up there on your website. This is good. One last thing. This is a good question, okay?
All right. Windows, so you say.
Windows 10.
Yeah.
Okay. So all the crap that's on there, I have a friend who's a geek, and she wants to take the computer home and get rid of it, just strip it down to anything you don't need so it can speed up. She says, look, you can take all your game applications, get rid of that stuff. Is there stuff you can safely take off of Windows 10 without screwing up the system?
So what happens when you buy mail order computers, they throw a lot of garbage on there as part of deals with the manufacturer.
Trialware.
Right, bunch of trialware. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily slow your machine down. So having stuff on it is like telling me you can't drive your car 65 miles an hour because you have luggage in the trunk. It doesn't care if you have luggage in the trunk, right? So the computer itself doesn't care if you've got software programs on it. And if you're not running them, it doesn't do anything with them. So removing them will just get rid of the nagware stuff that'll come up after 3 months saying, hey, we've given you this antivirus for free now. Now they want you to register it. So right. if she's good at what she's doing and she can remove some of that junk for you, it won't speed the machine up at all. But it will clean it up and remove the chances of the nagging coming up to see you and saying, hey, Gary, buy this or buy that. You know, we protected you for X number of months. Go ahead and spend some money with us now. That could be beneficial, but it's not going to speed your machine up. It's brand new, right?
So can you – it's running out. Is there anything you can do to speed it up? It's not, you know, it's not bad. And somebody said, well, that's just how it is now.
Well, what is it? What did you buy, Gary? Did you buy an i3, an i5, an i7? What did you buy?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and yeah. I could go and look, but I didn't.
Well, that matters. That matters. So it's like buying a – it's like buying a Yugo or buying a real car, right? I mean, if you bought an i3 – that's barely a processor, and I wouldn't even give it to my kid.
I'm gonna look and check it out and let you know because I bought it at I call it Blockbusters. What's the computer store name? You know,
Best Buy.
Okay,
Best Buy. Yeah,
that's fine.
You know, I got it for like $200-$300.
Ooh,
you know, Lenovo. So
it's a low end box. But $200-$300 is low end, right? So it's probably a lesser machine.
Or Pentium.
Yeah,
I know. Because I called you and you told me to spend like $600-$800,
and you didn't do it.
No.
And now your machine's running slow already?
Yeah, but listen, if it crashes, I just go buy another one.
Okay. But if it's going to run slowly, you're going to get a lot less done.
Then you're going to spend the same amount of money that you would have spent if you'd have spent it in the first place.
Yeah, but you already said that at the start of the thing. It doesn't matter. In 5 years, it's going to be outdated anyhow.
I had a cell
that was fully loaded. It was fully loaded. I mean, it cost like $2,000.
Yep.
Went through a thing 3 years later. Oh, well, you need a new computer.
I think it's
3 years old. You know? So it's like, hey, I'd rather buy cheap and keep buying cheap.
Hey, it could work for people. I understand. It is what it is. It's like buying a plastic snow shovel every year.
I'll put that in the luggage with my car.
There you go. Let us know what you buy, Gary. I'm curious.
I'm going to go find it out. I'll call you back and let you know.
Sounds good. All right.
Thanks.
You got it. So, yeah, right, you got to weigh the value, right? It's all a matter of value. But if you spend the right amount of money on the machine and get the right amount of hardware, it should give you 6 years of service, period.
Right.
That's what we do when we build and design our computers for our clients. We want those machines to give at least 6 years of service without having to be upgraded. At all.
With the new Windows 10, you can run it until it actually dies.
Well, I wouldn't believe Microsoft.
You don't have to do the upgrades.
Mm.
I mean, well, the upgrades are included in the updates, so theoretically.
That's the theory.
Unless they change their business model.
Right, which they easily could do. All right, let's try to get a... Oh, nope, we're going to step out for a break here. So everything we've talked about so far has been posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And if you go to Facebook and you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg deems our news worthy, it may get into your news feed. It just might. And if you follow us on Twitter, I don't know how you have time to follow anybody on Twitter, but if you follow us on Twitter over at Tab Computer Sys, it'll get into your Twitter feed as well. So we'll be right back.
Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars. Give me the Star Wars, don't let them end.
So, of course, there's an option for the Space Force service song as well. Classic.
1978.
Yep.
Saturday Night Live. Bill Murray.
May as well. You're copying Star Trek. You may as well throw in some Star Wars in there and have some fun with it. We have some other options we're thinking about too. Because if you see the logo they use, our government used, the logo is exactly what Star Trek is.
Starfleet Command.
It's insanity. I mean, come on, guys.
Well, they made some minor mods. I mean, you know.
No.
They stole it.
In any kind of trademark dispute, the government would lose, I would think, if you look at that logo. All right, let's get on to your calls. We're going to go to Ken in Marlboro next. Hey, Ken.
Hi there. Two things. One, I just wanted to call up regarding that previous caller that had the problems with the weak signal around his house with Wi-Fi. I have Comcast.
Sure.
I know. I have Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having problems where it was getting to the point where at the end of my house, furthest away from the Comcast device, I was having dropouts, the signal
right.
was getting weak.
Sure.
And the device was rather old. It was probably 5, 6, 7 years old.
Yep.
So I called Comcast. They went through the troubleshooting thing, and they came up with, oh, you should buy those booster things. And I'm like, okay, so who pays for that? Well, you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, why should I buy devices to make your service better? So anyway, I finally insisted they have a technician came out. Technician came out.
Yeah.
He agreed the signal was kind of weak. He switched out the device with a new one.
Yeah.
That seems to have solved the problem.
Of course.
Like you said, maybe something with newer equipment
yeah.
better.
That's why we're in business, Ken. if it all just worked forever, we would not be able to feed our kids.
Yeah, now the second, I had to push them, though, to get them to have somebody come out and actually do an upgrade, basically, to newer technology.
So and that's great that you did that. However, you're renting it from them, right? So if you look at what you're paying to rent the hardware from them, if you bought your own, you'd be able to take your wife out more often for dinner because you're looking at the monthly cost for that hardware.
Rental.
You're renting it. And so you went out and bought your own. You could go tell them to pound sand. You wouldn't really need them. And you put your own device in. And now you've got your control over your own network. They are only the stupid pipe connecting to your home. That's all they do. Think of them as the water line into your house. You're going to install the beautiful shower fixtures. You're going to install the faucets, you're going to install, that's you. Why rent it from them? Why would you rent your shower fixture from your water company? That's what you're doing.
Now, one further thing about, you mentioned pipeline.
Yeah.
One interesting thing that's happened lately is about 3 months ago, I had a little bit of a problem with the cable. They came out, they checked. They found that there was like 1.7 amps coming in on the cable.
Amps?
From the street.
Of power?
Ohms.
Ohms, you mean, right?
No, one point, they put an amp meter, clamp amp meter on it and measured like 1.7 amps coming in on the cable.
Okay, what did they say that meant?
Not good.
Okay, so there's some sort of power leaking onto the cable is what they're saying?
Right, and Eversource came out, pulled my meter, verified it's not coming back from my house. So, yes, it's coming from the street.
Mm.
And
that's their problem, not yours.
That didn't get resolved,
yeah.
And Comcast went out the other day. I said, check it again.
Yeah.
He checked it again. Turned out it's DC current coming in from the street.
Huh.
Now they're saying it's not Eversource. It's coming in from somewhere, from maybe Comcast backup batteries they have along their lines.
Right. They do. They probably do have system backups within the network that help to push the signal out. There's probably routers and switches. The fact that it's leaking, I mean, it's interesting that it'd be leaking over an RGB cable of some kind. I mean, you've heard of power over Ethernet, but I haven't heard of power over cable lines, so something's leaking
on
that line.
Getting into the ground somewhere or getting into
but is it
not right?
Is it affecting your signal? Is it affecting your performance?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Although when Eversource came out and when Comcast got out, they both said is a safety hazard.
Oh, so maybe you need an electrician. Yeah, you maybe need an electrician to try to ground that and bring that. I mean, I'm not an electrician. I don't play one on TV. I have no idea. But if you can ground the power off so it leaks back into the ground? So it doesn't...
Well, like I said, when Eversource came out and pulled the meter on my house, they verified that it's nothing in my
right
home that's causing the problem.
But how do you dissipate the amperage? How do you get rid of it so it's not a
well,
hazard?
Obviously, I think they need to correct the problem where it's coming from.
I agree.
That's the thing.
But if they can't, you can't trust them to do it, is there a way for you to do it before it gets to your modem? Can you bleed it off somehow? I don't know. I'm not an electrical engineer.
I didn't know if you'd ever heard anything like
that. No, I haven't. Have you, Bob? I haven't seen it out there.
I've never heard of that. They've got a crossed wire somewhere.
Yeah, something's touching something.
And it's a Comcast or whoever your internet provider issue.
Yeah. It's their issue.
Okay, well, I'm glad I could tell you something you never heard of before.
Thank you, Ken. We appreciate that. Sadly, we see enough of that in the field. But I haven't seen it in the actual field, this problem. All right?
Okay, take care.
You got it, Ken. Leaking power
if
on your cable
out in
service.
The field, it wouldn't be a problem.
That's true. All right, let's go on to John in West Hartford. What's going on, John?
Yes, so I have two questions on the same subject.
All right.
Concerns email.
Yeah.
When you establish an email address for yourself with a brand new installation, say 20 years back, with a server, and you have the TV with them also.
Yeah.
Now, 20 years later, coming up to this time now, mm-hmm. you move within the Connecticut, but a different town, a different county, and that company does not serve you here.
Right.
I have to get another company, which I did, of course.
Yes.
Here's a question. Does that email address that I established that everybody knows and it's all my contacts, can I keep that forever? And can they never take that away from me, the original server?
So the answer is probably no, you can't keep it forever. And yes, they can take it away from you. And I don't know that they offer you the ability to pay for it.
Was the domain you used for your email address one you owned? Or was it like a Yahoo or Snet.net?
No. It's my own personal type with your name built into it.
Okay, so that should be belong to you, depending on the company you had register it.
Right.
So if you registered it in your name, it would be yours. You could move it anywhere you wanted.
Right.
If you had a third party register it for you, the problem is they can register it in their name, and you kind of SOL.
Yeah.
Well, we just got the server 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I guess they told us to put in an email address, I guess, and we gave it to them and we did it ourselves.
Okay.
There was no third party anywhere.
All right.
And then we just bopped along all these years.
Right. So you're at what? You're John at what? What's your domain that you're talking about?
I don't want to mention the previous server.
Oh, okay. Is it like a Cox or Comcast or Yahoo, or what is it something that...
It's a regular company. Regular company provides TV, cable, and internet.
Okay. So then it's not your own domain. You have no control over that if it's at their domain.
Well, we paid them a monthly fee for the service.
Right, but now you're going to go to a different service.
We established our own personal email address.
Correct, but at their domain. So it's their domain.
We continued what we had with them.
Yeah. Right.
Now, we've been here now for about a year almost.
Yeah.
And we've been lucky that we still have it. But about a month and a half ago,
here it comes.
All of a sudden our email addresses got erased over a two-day period.
Right.
And I'm thinking... They still have to act. This is the second part of the question.
Yeah.
They still have to act as a server to enable us to continue to get our email addresses, our email.
No.
They don't.
You're not paying them a penny, are you?
No, we're not.
Yeah, why would they have to?
I don't know. Somebody thought that. I don't know who it was. Told my wife that.
No.
They thought that they had to do that. They kept the system open for us.
Well, they might have done it generally because they're lazy. They probably didn't even realize you're taking up space out there.
Yeah.
But they don't have any allegiance to keep it running for you, John. You need to consider getting your own domain. So if this is for a business or is this for personal?
All personal, yeah.
All right. You need to consider getting a different domain. So maybe you go out to GoDaddy and register your own John at your last name domain.
Oh, you mean I could use the same address?
Not theirs.
The problem with this is everybody's got this email address. Utility company.
I know.
Well, you know what? It's gone.
Security, everybody. I have to go back and contact about 40 different companies. Never known personal friends.
Exactly.
You're lucky it's only 40.
well, that's not counting people that we know. That's
right.
What I'm going to do since I've had it now for a year, other than those days that it erased for some reason, you say they didn't do that, I guess you're saying, right?
No, they did. They probably just blew it away or just doing maintenance because you're not a paying customer anymore.
Right. So, John,
it's back again anyway.
John, what you need to do is you need to go to GoDaddy or Network Solutions or somebody and register your own name,
Okay.
The name of your company.
Or your
like johnsmith.com.
I see. Okay.
Okay. So you register that.
Or my server, right? Or the current server. Like, they would do it too, right?
No. Yeah. Depends. See, if it's a name that's commonly in use, you can't grab it.
Right. Oh, no. Just a unique name, like yourself. Like,
all right.
Right.
You know, blah, 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 F. Ralph D.
So let's say that you registered johnsmith.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you could have john@johnsmith.com as your email address.
Right. Or, it's always yours. You own it. You're going to pay for it.
Then you own it, and you can control it.
Right.
You've got to go to this GoDaddy, you said, huh?
Well, that's a place to go and register domains, yes. And the thing is, too, John, just because you went with this one company doesn't mean they're going to be at that domain forever. If you think about it, CVS just bought Aetna for $69 billion. Do you think they're going to be called Aetna forever? No,
yeah.
They're going to be called CVS. So they're going to be at something else,
right?
Because they changed. So your companies that are providing internet service to you, like Frontier's claiming bankruptcy. If you're at frontier.net, that may be gone too someday.
I got a guy who just gave me an email address who was at yahoo.com.
Right.
And I tried to send him an email and it bounced back. Well,
right.
Guess what? It doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
So, you know.
So you can't. If you want control over your own mailbox, you need to pay for your own mailbox. And frankly, our U.S. Postal Service, which is constantly like $11 billion in debt, that could be a service that they offered, right? I mean, having the post office be a company who could register your own email boxes and offer. I mean, the government running mail is probably a bad idea, email. Right. But the point is, you could find somewhere where those of us as citizens would find value there.
Back in the 80s and 90s, by the way, the post office tried to
tax email.
So that email you would pay, well, I think it was 13 cents
insanity,
back then.
Insanity, I know.
For something, and the courts ruled that they didn't provide a service that they weren't due the money.
I agree. So, all right, John, I hope that answers your question.
So right now, though, I'm with Xfinity.
Okay.
If I gave them a unique email address different from the one that I had before, like you suggest.
Yeah.
The only reason why you're telling me not to do that is that because they may also go out of business.
They could become something else.
But I could do it, though, right?
Of course you could. But you could be John at Xfinity if you want. But Xfinity could go out of business tomorrow, and then your email box changes again.
Yeah, when they reset everything up when I moved, they gave me I won't call it a phony, just a plain email address, which I never used.
Right.
But it was viable, you know? We just don't use it.
Yeah, well.
All right. Well, the only other thing is, this is a joke now. I'm well into retirement. I could outlive them before they change the name.
Maybe. Yeah, there you go, John.
Okay. Thanks for your information.
You're welcome, sir. We're going to sit out for a quick break. We'll be right back. Mark and Tom, hang on. This is Computer Talk. 32. So here's another option for Space Force, their service song. It'll link right up with their new logo. It's a great tune. Fun to play. Heavy use of timpani. Always good to use the timpani for your service song. So I just can't imagine what they're going to come up with a service song. I mean, if they got the logo, this is a whole new branch of government, right? They need the whole bureaucracy, so they need a service song, right? Tons of great options.
Why create a new one?
Why create a new one? Don't call John Williams up. Although whatever he comes up with will be insanely good. Just use the old Star Trek stuff. Use their logo. Let's go to Mark in East Hartford. Hey, Mark. Mark, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
What's
how
up?
Are you?
Good, how are you? Oh, is this Mark from the printer problem from last week?
Yes, sir. Yes. Here's what happened.
Yeah.
When you posted it, you had the wrong printer number, the instructions weren't on there. So can I please give you the right
give me the right number. Go for it.
It's brother 9125.
All right. We will find some manuals for the 9125. Is it the CN?
9125, I think so. It's printer, fax, copier, all in one unit.
I see it. We will put a link up here for you, sir.
Because I need another thing, too. Because it didn't have directions on how to... I know you got to reinstall. You got to remove and reinstall the printer. I tried it; it didn't work.
Yeah.
So it's on Windows 7 and the HP laptop I got. It just started. I talked to another guy, and he mentioned install drivers. Can you post that on how I would do that?
Yeah, the user's guide would have that. The problem is they may not have Windows 10 drivers for you, though, Mark.
No, I'm using Windows 7.
Oh, all right. Then, there's plenty of information right here on this link that we're putting up here for you.
And it's on your computer. It's on the, the tab site, right?
Yep. They've got drivers for Windows 10 all the way down to XP, even Mac, server. Okay, they have all sorts of stuff.
That's not too hard to do, right? You just got to program it into the laptop?
Yeah, you just got to click on the right driver. Yep.
So once do that first, probably, and then and then remove and reinstall.
Remove it first.
Yeah, remove it first and then install it fresh. Reboot and install it fresh, Mark. But we'll put the link up for you right now, sir.
You mean remove the
old driver,
reinstall it, or remove the computer and then remove the drivers and reinstall the drivers, then reinstall the printer?
Exactly. Yeah. So you have a clean install.
You're going to go to Devices and Printers. You're going to right-click on it and choose Remove Device.
Right, okay. And remove the drivers first or the printer first?
The printer first.
Yeah.
And then the drivers.
And uninstall the drivers. You're going to go into the control panel under Programs and Features, find that printer, and uninstall it.
And it is obsolete. That printer is extremely obsolete, according to Brother.
I was working fine.
I hear you.
I had no problem with
it. I know.
I
know.
I tried scanning.
Yep.
And I went from the printer scanning because I was unsuccessful to do it from the computer.
Yeah.
And I went back and forth, and that's what started it.
Right. Well, try the right driver. Right. Let's see what happens with this, Mark, okay?
Oh, can you address if you guys put what he just said on the, because I'm driving. I didn't write anything down.
Yeah, the links don't work that way, unfortunately. The links don't work that way. We have no way to kind of describe what you're supposed to do. You could always listen to the podcast again. Listen to yourself. So bring it up online. You'll hear your call. You can actually hear what we say. You can play it over and over and over again.
Okay, so what he just said
is on the podcast.
Should work with.
I hope so. Yeah.
All right.
Good luck, Mark.
He's driving me crazy.
I hear you. I hear you. Old printers that are obsolete, they can be trouble. We also are going to put a link up there for you guys for the router that I'm going to be considering. I have to get it through committee today, but it's the Linksys EA9300. And I'll put a link up there. That's the one I think I'm going to go ahead and check it out, bring it in-house, and see if it works for me and if it works as well as I hope it does. Did a lot of research to see if that's the way to go. But again, don't go out and buy them until I tell you how much it worked or not in my own house. Let's go to Tom in Farmington. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Occasionally when I start up my Mac, it comes up with Belkin. What is Belkin?
Belkin is a networking company.
It's got to be some device you have installed on your computer. It could be a network interface card. It could be video. I doubt it. Some sort of device that you've installed.
Right.
Okay.
It could be USB wireless. Could be.
It's plugged into your Mac. Something's plugged into your Mac. A Belkin device is plugged into your Mac, we're thinking.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Okay. What is captive.apple.com?
Captive.apple.com? I have no idea.
Is that a virus?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm wondering.
Is that coming up on your screen all the time?
That comes off after the Belkin. So now that you guys have mentioned that it's a external device, I have a feeling that I know what it is. It could be a speaker or something like that.
Yeah.
But now also at one point, I did some downloads and I got this thing called Trovi, T-R-O-V-I.
Okay.
And I think it's a browser, and it took over all of my browsers.
It's a malware.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I contacted Mac, and they apparently manually removed it for me.
Yeah.
But then I purchased Malwarebytes.
Okay.
Okay. Will Malwarebytes remove a virus that's already on the Mac?
If it's the Mac flavor of Malwarebytes, the answer is generally yes.
Okay. Good.
But with the thing that you had there was more of a browser hijack.
Okay.
It's not really malware, but it's an annoying. It's a browser hijack that has to do with forcing your searches through the Trovi rather than through wherever you want to search.
So after you get done removing it, you may need to go back into your options or your settings or what have you, and reset your default web page. So for instance, it could have set your web page so that automatically opens up back to their website so they can reinfect you.
Okay.
So after you remove that. That malware, then you've got to go in and restore your settings on your just reset it to default if that's an option for your Mac.
And that could also be related to your captive question. Like, you should, okay. If it could be something to do with your browser here. We're trying to figure out what that's all about, but
right. Because my main concern at this point is if I still have any of the viruses on the Mac. So when right. I do the scan with the Malwarebytes, which I think is a great tool,
yeah.
It comes up clean.
Then you're good.
Yeah. All right. And I did ask you this before, though. Mm-hmm. Will it remove a virus that's already there?
Yeah. That's the whole point of a of a virus scan device. It should remove it. Excellent. if it sees it. It should be able to quarantine it and remove it.
Perfect. That's it, guys. I thank you very much.
All right, Tom. Good luck.
Good. Have a great day.
You too. Bye bye. Yep. That's the whole point of the tool, right?
That's right.
So I want to thank you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning, and hopefully we picked a service song to go along with this Space Force. logo. You got to go check out our website to see the new logo. It is a direct ripoff of Star Trek. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. Everything's there, so you don't have to go find the links that we talked about. That way you're not going to find yourself down some dark alley in the internet and end up with the wrong link. If you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, it'll go into your news feed as well, these same links, and as long as Mark Zuckerberg deems it worthy, because again, he's controlling these links, not us. And then, of course, you've got Twitter. We are there, and we don't know why you're there, frankly, but if you are there and you like Twitter, it'll get into your Twitter feed if you follow us at Tab Computer 6. I want to thank Matt for producing today. Dr. Alessi's in next with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice, so stick around for that.
East Hartford PD. Karen and Tony, shout out. See you next week.
All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.